One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, speaker, and psychologist, and every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature, how to improve our life and our relationships, finances, career, health, and happiness. We've been having some great guests, and today I have a special friend who's a guest on the show, Claudia Duran. Claudia is a first generation from Bolivia. She's been in international marketing for over 20 years with very big brands. She's worked with Playboy TV, Hallmark Channel, celebrities such as Sir Richard Branson, Hugh Hefner, Liam Neeson. She started a company that became a multi-million dollar hospitality shop. And she's also worked with Jet Company, international, with Forbes billionaires and celebrities. And she's recently turned into matchmaking. The last 3 years, she does luxury high-end matchmaking, and she's a founder of the Modern Dating Movement, which I'm a part of and we're going to talk about. Welcome, Claudia, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Avila, for having me on.
Now, we're turning the tables. Last time we were at a beautiful hotel over here, you interviewed me for your program, right?
Yes. Yes.
And now we're reversing it. And so you're now in Miami Beach, I guess, in a beautiful area.
That's right. I'm based in Miami Beach, but I've also lived in New York City, and I've also lived in Los Angeles, which I think makes me a good candidate for matchmaking, having lived and loved in those challenging cities.
Tri-coastal, right? You kind of cover everything. So tell us, Claudia, tell us about your journey now from marketing to matchmaking, from business to love. People would say, that's such an unusual change. How did you pull that off? Tell us.
So it is an unusual change. And I got to tell you, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and my family was very conservative. And, as soon as I graduated, I went to go work for a think tank and a big government consulting. And I bought a home because those are the things you're supposed to do in D.C. And I realized I was just very, very – I realized two things. I was incredibly bored. And I really loved media, absolutely loved media. So I set out to go to where I thought was my dream place, Miami. I took one look at the sands, the ocean, the models, the sunshine, and I was like, I'm moving. Yeah. So I took a leap of faith, moved to Miami, and pretty quickly thereafter was recruited to work for a startup at the time for an iconic brand called Playboy, which I'm sure everybody knows. That rabbit is, everyone knows that rabbit in every obscure corner of the world. Back then, that was 20 years ago. That was a very, very hot brand.
Now, definitely. I was experienced with Hugh Hefner. Some people have a controversial look. Some people admire him. So what do you think of the whole Hugh Hefner phenomenon?
I think Hugh Hefner is a visionary. I think he was an incredibly likable man. Everyone that was around him liked him. He oozed charisma, this sort of easygoing confidence, dedication. He was really a star in the sense of a star. You know, some people just have that something special, and he had it. And I think the timing was perfect for when he rolled out Playboy. The way he did it was incredible. And from, that early on gave me an appreciation of beauty. And because we were working globally, it gave me the exposure and platform to work with all different kinds of people all over the world, talking about beauty, talking about content. And so very early on, I got that boot camp, let's say, on business and diversity and working globally. And I think that sort of set the stage for my career, which has been all about diversity and working globally and seeking out the beauty in brands and in my projects.
The beauty and brands. And then you also work for Hallmark, and you did some spiritual, religious on the other side of the coin stuff. So how did that turn out? You became a spiritual person after the Playboy.
So Playboy had an amazing run, and I worked for them for about 3 years. And then there were some business conflicts, and Playboy went back to Los Angeles. And I decided I was going to go to New York City because that's where people really get serious and actually work, unlike Miami, or so I thought at the time in my young naivete. Yeah. So I went to New York, and as it turns out, I knew someone who was working for programs of Playmates and Saints on the Hallmark Channel. I walked in, I looked up at the poster, and it said St. Francis of Assisi, from Playboy to Saint, and I knew that I was on to something.
Like, you're right, Playboy, and now you're working with Saints, right?
So I was like, well, maybe I'm supposed to be like St. Francis of Assisi. A lot of my friends in the entertainment business were very amused. They thought I had gone through some kind of reborn or something. No, and the truth of the matter is that I hadn't, and I realized that it was the same exact skill set.
Yes.
Promoting content, working globally, finding what resonated with consumers, working for Hallmark Channel, same skill set.
Interesting. So you sound like you're applying a lot of the same talents in different fields marketing is your forte, and also connecting with people. And now you're the matchmaking. So this is the whole kind of new thing.
That's right.
And, you know, Love University, we talk about loneliness as being one of the biggest issues in the world. We actually have an initiative we're working on for 2020, the Love Solution, Loneliness Love Solution. So basically help people transcend loneliness. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. You know, people can have money, right? They can have other things, but they don't feel that intimate connection with themselves, others, or a higher nature. And I think part of your program is geared to that. But what do you think is the biggest problem for singles today? I just had a lady on the show just finished who talks about Facebook dating. Facebook has a new app. So isn't that the easy way to meet people? What's the problem with singles today?
Well, I think there's a couple of things with singles today. I think that, you know, even though, and this is exactly why I started the modern dating movement, Dr. Avila, as you know, is because, you know, as I started speaking to more and more and more clients, both men and women, looking for love and even being so much as to invest financially in finding real love and the right partner, I realized that there is we're so digitally connected that it has actually backfired on us and made us to the point where we've gotten lazy in our communication.
Yes.
We've gotten lazy. We've gotten into the instant gratification. Mm-hmm. People want things now. Everything is now. Amazon Prime. And so these old fashioned ways of dating, which is, you know, give it a work through things or become vulnerable. I think we've gone in the opposite direction. We've gone in the way of branding ourselves a certain way to look good. Mm-hmm. You know, people are photoshopping their pictures. People are lying about their age. People are saying what they think other people want to hear. And they're really going away from authenticity and going towards marketing, like I used to market brands.
Right.
So you asked me, you know, how did I go from marketing brands to marketing people? And it really just made sense because whenever I spoke to a client, I realized there was something unique and special about that client.
Right.
There is something unique and special about each and every one of us.
Yes.
And when we don't fit or match with someone, it's not that the reason we're not fitting or matching with that person is because we really, you know, it's not a fit or a match, but we have to be open and we have to be willing to be vulnerable and we have to be willing to be slow down a little bit because we're all just so, you know, we're on the speed dating plan and the speed dating plan isn't really effective for getting to know people and getting into the right mindset for dating. So I think that that's a big part of the problem.
I like that. And, you know, with Love Types, the book I wrote, we talk about depth dating, you know, basically the compatibility, the personality. And we talk about the masquerade, where we're going to have put people with a mask on, and they're going to get to know each other based on their personality. So it's kind of reversal. And I think that's the key to find the inner person first, the authenticity, as you're saying. But in the real world, though, people are visual. I think you say males are visual, and you work in Playboy, which is a visual form. So here's the idea. Is beauty something that people want in relationships? I mean, you know the phrase that, are beautiful people mean or are they nice? What's been your experience with that? Now, you're an attractive woman yourself. So the beautiful people of the world, are they nice or mean or does it vary?
Well, you know, the thing is everybody wants beautiful, right? Everyone comes to me and they want beautiful. But beauty is subjective. And what may be beautiful to one person is definitely not beautiful to them. So I have some clients come to me and they want tall, blonde, blue eyes. And other clients, they say to me, they want petite, curvy Latinas. It really just depends on what they're looking for. Men are very visual, and I think that's something that we can't forget.
Yes.
Women are not visual, so they can't tell anything from a photo. So really the whole online dating is structured in a way that you can't even see or feel a person's chemistry in real life, IRL, as they say now in the digital world, right? They can't even say in real life. It's too long. It's too much of a commitment. So we have to say the IRL.
Yourself, were you an attractive gal? Were you an ugly duckling that came into yourself? Do you remember your high school times?
Well, I don't know that I was an ugly duckling, but I definitely was. I definitely was shy, and I definitely felt strange and weird. My parents were from Bolivia. I was a first generation American, so I definitely wasn't Miss Popular. I think that sort of evolved over time. And what I've also realized is, as I grew more confident in myself, and in the things that I've achieved, and in showing up for people, doing the things that build real self-esteem is when I really started to feel beautiful organically. And I'm not 5'9", and I'm not a statuesque or anything like that. But I came to start feeling beautiful, and I think that's what exudes, and that's what people are missing when they're dating online. They need to feel the other person's energy. It's completely critical.
I think what's missing is humility, you know, humbleness, kindness, you know, those are really attractive traits.
Definitely.
Sometimes shy people have that to a certain extent. You know, they can be physically attractive or maybe not, but they have that inner appeal that kind of exudes energy. I think that's
definitely
what we're talking
the
about.
Charisma.
Yeah, the charisma.
That's right.
Charisma.
Charisma is absolutely important. I mean, we all know it all changes over time as well. Look, we've had a big shift with women now being a lot more independent, making their own money, and now they've taken on a lot of masculine energy to succeed in business. Mm. So what's happened is that some of these very successful women are bringing a lot of this masculine energy to the dating, to the bedroom.
You just read my mind. I was going to ask you the same question. You must be on the same intuitive mind.
I'm a mind reader.
I know, intuitive, right? I know. Well, we did your love type. I think you were intuitive, I think, on the personality, right? I think. But yeah, I was going to lead into the whole idea of the masculine and feminine energies, you know, the yin and yang, as we know for the Jungian psychology, is that some males have more feminine energy, right? Some women have more masculine, or vice versa. And you said that in Playboy, you often put some masculine subtle elements in the picture, like maybe a car or something, you know, related to males. That could be attractive, but so what is the blend? How much of a masculine energy should a woman have to be attractive? How much of a feminine energy should man have to be attractive? Because sometimes that can be attractive too, to an extent.
Well, definitely, and I think it depends on what men or women want. I mean, some guys are okay with letting the women lead, and they kind of be the beta, but those are really far and fewer guys, okay? Mm. Most men want to be a man, and they want a woman to be a woman, which I always tell my female clients that are very successful. I have a lot of very successful female clients, you know, that's fine, but to remember to smile and be warm and be friendly and talk about, you know, talk about themselves, not ask a million questions. It's not an interrogation. It's two people sharing a moment, experiencing things together, and try not to project into the future about what's going to happen, but just enjoy the moment, just as they would a job interview. Like, gee, is this corporate culture right for me? Is the salary right for me? So it's about assessing people in a fun and not and laid back way is the best way to do
it. Right, so that's the so-called feminine, or, you know, say the yin energy, right? The softer energy.
Yes.
And the more yang energy, you know, the more masculine or stronger energy is leading. How about in the males? I mean, let's say you're a sensitive guy. I mean, you're an artist or writer. Is that attractive to females, or a certain kind of females would not like that?
Well, I think it depends on the female. I think certain kind of females don't like that. I mean, I've seen, you know, certain very, very successful women want to be with more laid-back guys because it just works for them.
It's a yin and yang kind of connection.
It is a yin and yang kind of connection. I think that's up for a couple. That is a vital part of the chemistry that has to be decoded in the beginning. I definitely think that the masculine energy that women do business with has to take a back seat when they're dealing with a love and relationship, because this is intimacy, this is love, this is sex, this is a whole different ballgame.
Right.
And so they can't, I think, you know, and I certainly was guilty of this, you know, years ago, sort of this uber independence, like, you know, I don't need a man, and I don't, you know, I can take care of myself, and blah, 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 blah. And I think that sort of attitude, even though it may be true, should be shelved, because no man wants to feel that a woman doesn't need him. She may not need him, but she probably, if she's out there dating, she wants somebody to look after her.
Right.
And that's different.
Emotional caring, you know, intimacy is the key, right? And we're all need intimacy emotionally, regardless of how much money you make or not. Now, the other thing is interesting is, Claudia, the idea of combining love and business together. Now, I've interviewed some married couples that are very successful. And you've heard of other people like Bill and Melinda Gates, the Cardones over here in Miami. You know, they work together. They're business, entrepreneurial, and they're also in love. I think you mentioned you had a partner like that at one time. You guys were doing business and you had a relationship. But
yes,
I don't know if it worked out or not.
That is. I've been guilty of that. That is true.
Good? Is that possible to get that, or is it difficult?
It is possible. Here's the thing. Whenever there is a relationship that is A, becomes romantic and intimate, and also becomes a business relationship, it should be even more solid, because then at that point it becomes a multi-layered relationship.
Yes.
And so I think that the level of respect and agreeing to disagree and trust is even more important as a foundation in those types of relationships. But I also think that the payoffs are even sweeter in those types of relationships as well.
So two entrepreneurial millionaires want to meet and they want you to introduce them. You're okay with that? You can work with that kind of thing?
If two millionaires want to meet, I can introduce them?
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
As a business, you know, they want to do business and they want to have love at the same time. So that can work out, right?
Well, you know, when I introduce two people, the way that they architect their relationship is completely up to them. It's completely up to them. You know, I do advise my clients when I coach them that if they are to get engaged in the business as well, then they better have that more solid foundation. And if they do have that more solid foundation, then it's just the sweeter when the business succeeds. And, you know, in my own experience, we had a tremendously successful, you know, business. The relationship was successful, not as long as the business partnership, but both of us walked away from that relationship bigger people, better people, and better business people. So
exactly.
It was a wonderful partnership regardless.
Yes. Love and money can work, right, in the right settings, I guess.
Yes,
Claudia,
it can.
I'm going to give you a little special thing here. This is what I call the Dr. Alex Love Quiz Challenge.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you three questions. I do this for my classes in psychology, and I give them a little prize, like extra credit or something. So I'm going to offer you, what would you like if you win this thing? Would you like a nice buffet or something, or what would be your prize you want?
If I win which? If I win the quiz?
Yeah, these three questions. If you get them right, I'm gonna get you something. What would you like? Like a
Well, sure. A nice dinner sounds great.
Champagne brunch. Okay.
Champagne brunch.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Question number one is, who falls in love? And also, readers can listeners can do this too. Who falls in love faster, males or females?
Males.
Okay. Tell me why.
Because men are very goal-oriented. It's just the way they're made up. You know, as our friend Dr. John Gray has educated us, they have a different chemical structure to their brains. They're very goal-oriented. They're very decisive. They know what they want faster than women because of the testosterone.
Right. Now, before you go on, you know that you would think traditionally females are more so-called romantic, so they might fall in love more quicker. So you're going against that so-called traditional view. Is that correct?
Absolutely, because women, especially as they become older, they become more guarded, more selective, more discerning.
Okay.
And particularly in this day and age, I think that women, it takes a lot for women to fall in love. Rather, a woman may want a relationship more than the man, or be more relationship prone, but that doesn't mean she falls in love faster.
Okay. So this is your final answer, right? Men fall in love faster?
Yes.
You're correct. You're right. So because, you know, males actually are more visual, and they can fall in not just lust, but also love. You know, they have a fantasy of the woman and what she's like, and he can have that. Where a woman is more pragmatic. You know, she needs to know a lot of, you know, what kind of husband will he make, father, you know.
Blood type, income.
Big list, right? So that's a whole different thing. Okay. It's pretty good. So you're doing one-third way to your brunch. Okay, question number two is, who falls in love more frequently, males or females?
Males or females fall in love more frequently? I'm going to say males.
Why is that?
Because, again, I feel that they're more decisive, more goal-oriented, and they are less discerning when it comes to sizing up a potential mate. So they're probably statistically more prone to being frequently in love. There's also more women, by the way, than there are men.
Okay, all right. All right, so this is your final answer on this one.
Men.
Okay. Incorrect. It is actually, based on research, females. Because what happens is that males, when they invest their emotional energy in a woman and fall in love, they often linger. You ever see how guys try to get the woman back? You know, it's one in the morning, he calls her up, oh, you know, I miss you, you know. And she can cry with her girlfriends, have a little party, and then she's out the next week or two going to meet another guy, possibly, because women have more emotional support, you know. But the only emotional support he has usually, because his mom, is that woman. So when he loses that, it's like a tremendous blow. Mm. So that actually is the case. So do you ever see guys trying to get women back? Has that ever happened to you before?
All the time.
Yeah. So constantly, right? And you, once you know it's done, can you move on to the next one?
That is true. That is true. Women do move on. Once they're done, they're really done, and they move on quickly.
Yes. Yeah. Because you
have. But I don't know that they. You know. But and I'm not debating you. But I'm wondering if they actually, if it's a matter of them falling, moving on faster and beginning to date faster, or actually falling in love more frequently.
Maybe falling out of love, and then falling in love. You see. See, the man's different. I mean, sex is one thing, but when he falls in love, like gives his heart to a woman, that's his emotional everything, right? You know, besides his mother, is he going to go up to his friend, hey, Bubba, give me a hug, man. You know, I feel bad, dude. You know, is that going to happen? Where, you know, girls, yeah. You got your girlfriends, right? You guys have your, you know, chocolate party, watch movies and all that, you know. So it's a whole different mindset. All right, I'll give you one more chance, though. You're going to get this one, I think, hopefully. Okay. Who is more romantic, males or females?
Well, I'm going to say females.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, I think that females really, I think they're more predisposed to romance. They want to feel safe. They want it to be about emotion. They have to have an emotional connection more often in order to open up and feel safe and become intimate.
Okay. I'm talking about romance. Romance, the traditional... You know, chocolates and candies and all that. So you say it's females that are romantic?
Well, I mean, but at this point you get into like who's courting who. And let's assume that men are courting women. So that would automatically make them more romantic. But I don't feel that they are more romantic. I think that a woman needs more romance than a man. Men are more okay with non-romance, just companionship and sex. Okay. Whereas women, they need to be wooed.
Okay. Good point. Except the answer is men.
Really?
Based on this research. Okay. Now, I'll explain why.
Who's researching this?
I know. Here's the key, though. See, men are more romantic in the sense that they're more idealistic. See, he can see her and hear her voice, and he falls in love in his mind, for example. Where women are more pragmatic. You know, she needs to know a lot of things about him before she falls in love in that sense. So in that romantic, idealized state, the male often does that. Do you remember the movie Maid in Manhattan, by any chance?
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez. She was a maid, right? He was the politician guy. So, she fell in love with the guy, right? Or vice versa. But if roles were reversed, well, if it was a female politician and a guy who's a meter maid, would she have fallen in love that quickly, do you think?
No.
See what I'm saying? Yeah, because he would have thought, you know, we're out of, you know, economic status. Does that make sense?
I just saw this wonderful movie, by the way, which is the modern day version. It's the best rom-com I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
And it really captures the spirit of the modern day that we're in. And it's called Long Shot.
Okay.
And Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen.
Really?
And Charlize Theron is Secretary of State, and she's running for president, first female president of the United States.
Wow.
And she hires Seth Rogen, who she once babysat, to write her speeches.
There you go. That's perfect. Okay.
And they fall in love. And it's such a
great... Right. Would that work in the real world, though, or you think it will be a challenge to do that sometimes?
Well, you have to watch the movie and see. I felt the way the movie was portrayed, that they made it look really... I mean, for me, it would be the ideal way to handle the situation.
That's pretty cool. It's reversible.
And I would root for that bold love statement.
Yeah, total opposite, exactly. So, Connie, the thing we want to talk about also is you got this amazing program called the Modern Dating Movement. You have 21 worldwide experts, and actually I'm one of them, I guess, to be on the platform. They're giving advice on love. Tell us about that. How did that come about, and what's going on with that?
Okay, so the Modern Dating Movement, I started, it basically was inspired by what we were speaking about, people feeling lonely, feeling disconnected, oversaturation of digital, and the need for us to connect authentically with each other. So I was like, gosh, you know, let me get all this great advice from trailblazers in the field. So I have everyone from psychologists to sexologists to Vedic astrologers to dating coaches, New York's top dating coach, LA's top dating coach, and I got everybody together and I sat with them and I interviewed everyone for 20 minutes and I said, hey, what's going on in our society and what do we need to do to have more authentic relationships with each other? How do we rev up our sex lives? How do we look for those hidden red flags and shadows that we may not even know that we're carrying around, right?
Yes.
And I got all kinds of incredible answers. And so this show is now happening, and you can register for free at themoderndatingmovement.com. Dr. Avila was one of my experts that weighed in
Definitely.
To talk about his book, Love Types, and a bunch of other wonderful concepts
Thank
in
you.
Love.
Yes.
You also assessed me and my love type
we
on
figured it out, yeah.
On the spot.
So we're kind of previewing the show. It's going to come out October 6th, which is this upcoming Sunday. So this little segment was going to show before that. So the idea is
Actually, it came out on September 23rd, but it's running for about 3 weeks because I have 21 experts. So it's actually happening now.
Yes.
Each interview is available for 48 hours, and one interview comes out every day. So it's actually just started.
That sounds great. So what happens after the interviews come out? Do they go off, and can people get them later, or what's going to happen with those interviews?
The interviews are going to air, and they're available for 48 hours, and then they're gone forever.
Wow. Forever. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll come back.
And at that point, I may see, you know, if there is a request for them, we may repackage them or provide them the audio, or I have to see how it goes. But so far, I've been getting all kinds of incredible comments from people all over the world that are loving the interviews, that are resonating with some of the material. Oh, and there's free gifts, by the way, that each one of my experts has given. So there's lots of goodies in there as well, good meditations and soulmate advice and online do's and don'ts.
Exactly. And the whole thing is free by itself, right? So you're basically providing
That's
a service to people to connect.
It's a resource.
You also use the word summit. I think summit is a peak point of existence. So you want to kind of like exalt people in a sense, right? To elevate them in relationships.
Yes.
And the idea of authenticity is a great word. So define that for us. Let's say in the dating world, you see people lie about different things and they're not really authentic. Maybe even with themselves. So how do you teach people to be more authentic in your practice with the matchmaking?
Well, I teach them to wear whatever they feel. If they want to feel sexy, wear whatever they want to feel sexy. Whatever really makes them feel good. I tell them to connect with their heart and not with their head. Forget about what society says is sexy, what's supposed to be. I say to them, show up as you are. Show up with what makes you feel special and unique. And if you don't know what that is, then I can help you. I can help you dissect what's special and unique, what I'm hearing that's special and unique about yourself.
Well, tell you what, I have a challenge for you here. I call it the Reggie Producer Challenge. Reggie, can you come here a second? This is my producer who's a young man. He's never been on a date before. I want you to
talk
to
him.
Never, no, he's a young man. He's a former autistic guy.
Hello, hi.
What's one advice you would give to Reggie right now? Let's say he wants to learn how to deal with women in a positive way.
I would say smile.
Yeah, can I give him a big smile?
Too serious.
Oh, too serious. Okay, too serious. Okay.
Too serious. Okay. Yeah. I would say make eye contact. You want to connect, make eye contact
look
with
her
me.
In her brown eyes.
What's it called? It's kind of just because of the.
Okay. Okay. Break the ice with her. Let's say you see her at a coffee shop. She's a nice girl. What would you say to her right now?
Hi, may I join you?
Well, may I join you might be a little too forward. I wouldn't just start with may I join you. I would just say, hi, how are you? Maybe just open with a greeting. But definitely I think eye contact is important and a big genuine smile.
Okay, so let's try that one more time. Okay, she's at what kind of coffee are you drinking, Claudia, right now?
I'm going to have let's call it a skinny coconut latte.
Okay, but you're Cuban coffee, right? Café con leche or something.
Cafecito, yeah.
All right, cafecito. So she has a little cafecito, all right, and you see her, and she seems very nice. So let's start again now.
All right, so, hi, is that a cafecito you got there?
Well, I wouldn't say that because...
Hey, you're being tough on this guy. Come on, give him a chance.
It just leaves, and I'll tell you why, Reggie, because it leaves the door open for her just to say yes.
Or no, right?
Oh, okay.
Or no. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of obvious that she just has a cafecito. Mm-hmm. So you just want to say, hi, how are you?
Oh, okay.
That's it. Just look at me in the eyes and smile and just say, hi, how are you? And let it flow organically. Okay, let's try it again.
All right. So, all right. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
This is where you would say, what's your name? Oh. Everyone wants to know who the person is, right?
Let's see. So what's your name?
I'm Claudia. Oh, how are you? How's your day going? I think that's always a good one. How's your day going? You always want to be asking to smile, be authentic, and then ask them about them because people, that's a great way to connect, right? Or you make an observation about them.
So Reggie, I think smiling is the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I guess a big smile. Let's try a little bit of laughter too. Laughter is good. Okay, let's try to laugh. Okay. Now, does he have a... He has a nice laugh, right? Kind of sinister. But,
you know, it's quirky. It's quirky.
But, funny. But should but he shave the beard?
I mean, now he has a playful energy. People like playful, positive energy.
More fun. Now, should he shave the beard or, I don't know, put an earring on or anything? Or do you think it's cool to have his style? What would you suggest? Because he's an intellectual. He loves technology. He loves video games. Comic-Con, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, he's kind of the nerdy, kind of smart, nice guy. He's basically in the friend. He's in the friend zone all the time, right, Reggie?
I get that a lot. I would like to say in my defense right now too. I'm like in kind of like in work mindset or whatever. So that's probably like I'm like very serious or whatever.
No, don't worry about it. Okay. So what should we do him? Can we do a makeover, or you think it's okay the way he looks?
You know what I would do, Reggie? I would shave the beard off and try that for a little while. Because that could breathe a nice new energy in there. Okay. And I understand you're focused on work. We're all focused on work. We all need to make a living. The lights need to stay on. You know, I get it. But you can also be open to your surroundings. Because here's the beautiful thing that I didn't realize. And this is when I started breaking out and I started working on my own as an entrepreneur, I realized that the whole world was an opportunity for business.
Absolutely.
And connections. And so I want you to have that same mindset when it comes to dating. The whole world is out there waiting to interact with you and teach you things. So you want to open up mentally and you want to kind of take in what's going on and try and connect with people. And how do you connect with people? You smile. You say, hey, how's your day going? Or how's it going? Even little simple things. And the right people will resonate with you.
I like that. That's great.
I like that.
Okay, one more time. She's at the cafe. Say, how are you doing? Let me get you a cafecito. Let's try it.
Okay.
That's very nice. Okay. That's taking it a step further.
Okay, try it one more time. Here we go.
All right. Hi, how are you doing?
Let me get you a coffee.
Hi.
Okay. Can I get you a cafecito, a cup of coffee or anything?
That would be nice, actually. Wow. I love a cafecito.
Good job, right? You had a cafecito.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
There we go.
All right. I'll kick you out of here.
And now I'm thinking to myself, what a nice guy.
Yes.
Have him to offer me a coffee. Yes. Little things make big difference.
Exactly. Well, thanks. That's pretty nice. And that kind of, Claudia, goes to your advice. I think a lot of your experts are telling you to lighten up. You know, like, don't think as seriously as, you know, personally. And we talk about in Invincible You, the book I wrote, the idea of the 7% club, where, you know, 100 billion people have died and 7% or 7 billion are alive, and you're part of that 7%. So the fact that you're alive is a great joy, right? You know, we need to be grateful
for that
and not take everything so personally, even so-called rejection. So is that how you see things?
Absolutely is how I see it. And you know, like I mentioned before, I don't see it as rejection. I see it as perhaps it's not the right fit. Perhaps it's not the right time.
Yes.
But, you know, if you don't put yourself out there and you don't connect with people authentically, then you don't want to hide behind, you know, the dark, what do you call it? I see it like the database that you send your resume to, like an HBO, and it goes into like the dark annals and falls, you know, by the wayside into planet zero.
Yes.
That's not the way to do it.
That makes sense. Well, you know, we talk about, you know, at Love University, extending loving energy without expectation. You know, shining that inner light to people, you know, like smile at people, say hello, you know, no matter what, how they respond, is that you are the one who's shining the light. You're like the sun, as we say, right? The sun shines no matter what. Some people don't
like
the sun. You know, they cover up, but the sun doesn't get mad. It doesn't take it personal, right? The sun shines on the little, the big, you know, everyone else. So that's a great advice. I think I really love your program. You know, your dating movement is very, very exciting. Are you going to keep doing it? I mean, once this thing goes on?
Definitely.
You know,
I think what I'm going to do is after the movement is over, and I've been getting so much good feedback, and here's the thing, you know, and this is what you spoke about earlier was humility. I don't think that I have all the answers. That's why I got all the experts together. So when I got all the experts together, I start to hear patterns, and then I start to make, you know, ideas and assumptions. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out a survey. I'm going to survey my people. I'm going to say, what do you guys want? Mm. What can I do? Mm. I want to become a problem solver. I want to come and solve people's problems. It's not about pitching them on what I want. I want to solve their problems. If I'm solving people's problems, then business will always be good and I'll always be happy because I'm being of service.
I like that. So you're basically a conduit of higher wisdom in some ways. You know, people are coming to you with this wisdom, right? And then you're kind of like asking people what they want, right? You're a channel.
That's right. I am. You know, and I never thought that I would be, but you know, given my life experiences and the things that I've been through and all the crazy career changes that I've made in my personal life, I've, you know, have certainly had my share of heartbreak and heartache and the like, and success and business and success, as we've spoken about. You know, I've certainly amassed a wealth of information, and particularly my clients are always giving me wonderful insights.
Definitely.
So,
yeah, Don Miguel Ruiz talked about being a channel. You've heard of him, The Four Agreements, the spiritual.
Of course. Teacher. Yes. Yes.
Actually, yeah, you have some of his books. So, you know, it would be nice to get maybe spiritual teachers to connect with you as well for your matchmaking, you know.
Absolutely. And I also have the wonderful Ariel Ford on the show. She was the publisher of, as you know, of Deepak Chopra and Don Miguel Ruiz. He launched their careers.
Yes.
So she weighs in. She'll be on in about a week or so about talking about soulmates and channeling the law of attraction, which is what we're talking about here in little teeny steps, right? Okay. Shedding that light, spreading the goodness, being of service to people.
Exactly. Fantastic. So where can people hear more about you? You have a matchmaking company. You can help people. Tell us a little bit about your services and your website and everything.
Sure. So my company is called The Communication Studio. And through The Communication Studio, I provide matchmaking and also coaching. And soon to be coming up, I'm going to be doing retreats. So that is TBD coming soon.
Sounds fun.
Okay. And the audience and my clients are going to tell me what it is that they want to do. You know, it could be everything from singles retreats in Ibiza to something cool in Miami. Maybe we do something in Miami, like the masquerade balls you and I were talking about doing, where people see their love types. To, I don't know, maybe sexuality is something that they want to learn more about. You know, I have partnered with an incredible tantric master, and she's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you have all kinds of amazing experts. And like I said, you're willing to fill the need, right? You're looking for what people really want in life. And we talk about loneliness and, you know, filling that inner gap. But it also can be spiritual loneliness, you know, disconnection from themselves, from others, and a higher nature. So I think we're covering all different angles. So it's been wonderful, Claudia, having you on the show today. We definitely want to have you back and, you know, of course, be participating in your movement as well. It's great. So readers, listeners, if you want to get a hold of us, you can come to loveuniversity.love, email us at loveuniversity@gmail.com, call us at 310-226-0890, like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So until next time, this is Dr. Avila and Claudia. What's your final message for people out there that are looking for love? Let's say they are been, you know, frustrated, rejected, lonely. What can you tell them right now?
I can tell them that they're never too old, they're never too fat, they're never too broken, sad, or depressed for love. It is something that we are we're born to have. It's our birthright. And so love is there. We just need to be willing to open up and accept it.
Fantastic. So Dr. Alex Avila, it's been wonderful. So Love University students, if you have any questions, you can email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Also Instagram and Twitter at Love U Podcast. Until next time, Love University students, put away your notepads, your books, your iPads. And this is Dr. Alex Avila.